Hey, my name is David Peñol. If we haven't met, I'm the Students Director here in Dallas. And I want to start off also referencing something Todd said in his message today, which I thought was really great and applied. He mentioned Proverbs 19, and Proverbs 19 verse 2 says, in the NLT, it says, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. And the first thing I want to say is for those of you that were at the Shoreline Family Kickoff, or if you listen to the audio from that, I think haste is a good word to describe our communication at that event. So we communicated, I don't know that I would say it was prematurely, but specifically talking about small groups, we gave about 5 minutes or less of airtime to that in the middle of a lot of other great stuff. And we didn't provide space for anybody to ask questions or express concerns or follow up. We didn't do a great job at preparing our leaders for that announcement and that strategy change. And, you know, we were anticipating some questions, but not the response that we received from many of you. And so, man, haste makes mistakes. And we feel like our communication that night, the timing of it, and the way we did it and didn't allow feedback, that was a mistake. And so I've expressed this to students at Hideaway. We had a meeting similar to this with all of our small group leaders last Sunday. And I wanted to express it to you guys that, man, I realized from some of the feedback that we've received, that haste caused some of you guys stress or concern or tension in your communities where you were responding to concerns from that announcement that other people have been coming to you with and expressing to you. And so I just want to say on behalf of the Dallas students team, man, if you were stressed out or frustrated or discouraged in any way by that hasty communication, we are sorry. And I would love the opportunity, if any of that is personal, for sure. If you're going, man, what are you guys thinking? And you're messing with my life and I've caused you stress. Man, come talk to me after this. I would love to ask for your forgiveness. And I would love to make sure our relationship is good and restored. I've had a handful of those conversations with those of you that have come to me with that. And I'm really grateful for that. And so I want you to know I mean it. I do want to talk to you. I want to hear you. And I want to make sure that we make things right, because our heart is to partner with you to disciple kids. And that's the other scripture that I wanted to reference, is just kind of recapping our heart for students here at Watermark. And this is something I read recently from the book of Luke. I didn't mark it, so I'm just flipping through here. In Luke chapter 5, when Jesus is calling some of the disciples, there's a description that is really the reason why we call our high school ministry Shoreline. It's one of the reasons, and it comes from Luke 5. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And so just a side note, if you've ever wondered why do they call it Shoreline, we want Shoreline to be a place where great crowds can come and hear the word of God. And they can meet Jesus in the form of the body of Christ. And so we call it Shoreline because we want crowds to gather and hear the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there while they were washing their nets. And I'll spare you the whole story, but essentially he got in the boats, continued preaching. Then he had a conversation with those fishermen who had been up all night the night before and they hadn't caught any fish. He sent them out. He said, go fish one more time. They're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're a rabbi. And sure enough, they did catch a bunch of fish. And then at the end of that interaction, Jesus said this to them. He said, here we go. Okay, Simon Peter realized what had happened. He fell on his knees before Jesus, said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you, because he was awestruck at the number of fish that they had caught, as were the others who were with him, James and John, sons of Zebedee. And Jesus replied, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. And so the second reason why we call this Shoreline is, yes, we want Shoreline to be a place where crowds gather to hear the word of God and to meet Jesus, but also a place for them to respond to the call of Jesus on their life and to leave their old life behind and discover new life in Christ and to become disciples and followers of Jesus, leaving everything behind and following him from that day forward. And so those are kind of two of the reasons why we call it Shoreline. And I just want to reiterate for you guys that our heart is to make disciples and to teach these kids how to follow Jesus. So let me just tell you what the rest of this meeting is going to be about. Kind of under that umbrella is I'm going to give you a spoiler as to what we're going to talk about. Then Bo Fournette's going to come up and talk about how we got here, what led up to this meeting. Jermaine Harrison's going to jump up and tell you what we're going to do going forward. And then Bo and Todd, Jermaine and I will all jump up here and we'll answer any questions you have. And we're going to get to that Q&A as quickly as we can. We should be there in under a half hour to give us a good half hour to answer questions at the end. So here's the spoiler. We'll put it up on the screen. Today we are introducing an approach to Watermark's care and shepherding of high school students that will not require small group time to be structured based on membership. So we are reversing the announcement that was made. Is there clapping happening? It's incredible. So put your pitchforks down. So that's, we're going to get to what the approach is going to be and how we got to this point, but we wanted to tell you this on the front end as you're formulating your questions for us later. Make sure your questions aren't about, why are you structuring small group based on membership? Because we're not doing that anymore. Now, if you want to know why we're not doing that anymore and what were you guys thinking in the first place, we're happy to answer those questions. But we wanted you to know right up front, we've heard enough feedback and then process that with one another that we're not going to do that. But we are excited to tell you what we are going to do. So Bo, where are you? Jump on up here, Bo. Did he leave? Oh, there he is. All right, Bo. And just tell us how we got to this point. Bo Fournette, Elder of Watermark Community Church.
Hey, thanks, David. So for those who don't know me, I have six kids and four of them are in small groups. And so I'm in the thick of this with y'all. And I'd like to share a little bit about sort of who's in the room and then how we got to where we are. And so the first thing I'll note is I would assume that the makeup in this room is similar to the makeup in our small groups, which approximately a third of our kids, their family has no other affiliation with our church. So either their parents are unchurched or they are plugged in at another church. About another third are families where the parents have hung out with us for months or years, but have decided that they don't want to be all in with us. And so that's sort of the regular attender crowd. And then about a third of them are members that have said, I'm all in with all of the vision and values and doctrine of Watermark. And so as we try to figure out how to love our kids and I think about how to communicate effectively here, I realize a third is fully aligned with me. A third, I don't know. Like, I don't know where you're at church or sort of where you're aligned. And I know a third in this room is probably disagreeing with me, right? I've hung out for months or years here, but I don't want to jump in and be a member. And what we've been talking about is how we could best care for our members. And so that's difficult to be able to communicate in a way that I use language that everybody understands and cast a vision that everybody agrees with. And the history of this, I'll go back 5 years to every member at Watermark is in a community group. And a community group is really where our call is to be and make disciples. And about 5 years ago, we recognized we had a lot of community groups where we had non-members that were part of the community groups, and which meant that some of those members might have agreed with us on everything, or some of the members of the community group that were not members at Watermark. And then some of them may not have agreed with us on doctrine or values. And a disproportionately high percent of the challenges we had was when we were jumping in to help a community group with something that was going on. And there were people in the room that did not have the same view of Scripture as us, or the same view of sort of the call to authenticity and being and make disciples as we had. And so about 5 years ago, we said we need to work through that and really make sure that our community groups are just members, because those are the people that have said, hey, I want you to care for me. This is what I want you to hold me accountable to. And this is my reading of God's word, and we're aligned on that. And so we started working through that, recognizing that we have community groups where there are people that are not members that are hanging out with that community group. And we've just said, hey, that's fine if they're hanging out with you. If things get really rough for them, we're going to go find the elders at the church they're at and ask them to come alongside their member and shepherd them. And then we'll help as much as the leadership of that person's church would like us to help in that. But we don't want to rob the leadership of that church of the privilege they have to shepherd their members. So we worked through that, and there were a couple of exceptions. One is students, which of our 8,500 members is about 200 members. And then the other exception were some people that were going through Regen and Reengage, where for a season they said they were going to jump out of their community group. And their temporary community group was going to be the small group they were in as they were going through either Regen or Reengage, which are a couple of sort of 4 to 12 month ministries we have at Watermark. And so the leadership of Regen and Reengage in the past year has come back and said, hey, we don't think this is working. We don't think that Regen and Reengage is structured to be all that community has to offer. We would rather people go through Regen and Reengage and their sponsor in that and their support be their existing community group rather than walking away from that. And so we got back to a point, we're moving back to a point where we have about 200 of our 8,000 plus members where we can't say that we are surrounding that member, being the high school members, with others that we know are fully like-minded to make sure that they are being shepherded. And then as they've asked us to shepherd them, that we could feel like we're doing that with an excellence that we feel called towards, recognizing that it's hard and we are going to make mistakes along the way. And so that was the history of us getting to this point. And we had mentioned to the student leadership 2 to 3 years ago, hey, we want to move towards this. And we've been working on alignment with that. And we got alignment this summer that now is the time to move towards making sure that all of our student members had what we felt was the same level of care as the rest of our members. And so then we debated a number of different ideas on how to do that. And the one we rolled out a month ago was one of the 2 or 3 ideas that we seriously considered. The one that we're going to announce today was one of the other ones that we seriously considered from the beginning. And since then, we've had about a dozen couples that have come to us and said, hey, we think you got this wrong. Can we help you? And so we've met with those people, and I'll share very quickly, really quickly, 7 things they shared with us that we think are fair, and we think that as we move forward, we're going to be able to better accommodate those without compromising our view that we think every member of our church needs to have an opportunity to be shepherded by other members, even if it's not on a Wednesday night. So the first thing they said was just grateful for our high school ministry. Just could not be more grateful for Jermaine and David and the entire team and just the life change we're seeing in students. And I could not agree more as I entrust some of the discipleship of my kids to this ministry. The second thing was they said, we trust our leadership. These were all members. And we're going to go where you think it is best for us to go. And that's humbling and it is greatly appreciated as we try hard to lead at a time when it's not always easy. The third thing they said was, hey, we don't think the initial communication was great. I mean, as David said, we agree with that. And we could have communicated better. Related to that was the fourth point, which was a lot of parents chose not to attend the first meeting. And we can't own that, but it made it difficult. And a lot of people are meeting with others and complaining, but they're not coming to you and sharing what their concerns are. And so we couldn't take that consideration into effect or into account. But the 12 families that came and met with us and gave us feedback, I think, had a great influence on where we landed. And then there were 2 things that they were really disappointed about the opportunity on Wednesday nights. One was evangelism, that kids could invite their lost friends to come and hang out and hear about their hope in Christ. And the second thing, and I want to say this gently but directly, is we have some of our members that say, I can't believe where that kid's family is going to church. And if I can expose that kid to something that is sound doctrinally and point them towards a healthy church when they're at a position where they can make that choice, I want to do that. And I think that just like it's hard to invite a non-believing friend if we're going to have a split, it's going to be hard to invite some kids that know Christ, but their family's not yoked with us into that. And I appreciate both of those things because we want to call people to Christ, and those who know Christ, we want to call them to faithfulness. And then the last thing is... All of them said, we love the idea that you're trying to figure out how to better disciple our kids. And if our kids could have more of a taste of community that we've had in our community group, then we're all for that. And then they all shared ideas around how to do that. And there was a common theme to those ideas, which is aligned with what we'll share today. And so with that, I'll have Jermaine come up.
Thanks, Bo. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you so much for leading us in that. Thank you, Dave. Put this down. So some of our Shoreline staff members are going to be walking around handing out this handout with our new proposed, if we've not met, I'm so sorry, Jermaine Harrison. I get to serve here on the Shoreline Dallas team. Our Shoreline team is passing out our new updated small group strategy for this fall and hopefully going forward. So if you came with someone, share with them. We only made 100 hard copies. We'll make sure that a soft copy goes out in the Shoreline News email to your kids, small group leaders, so that they can pass it on to you later on this week so that you can have that as well. And so to summarize what you're going to see on this sheet, whether you read it now or later on, is we are going to ensure that small groups on Wednesday evenings, typically that's when they meet, but maybe Tuesdays or Thursdays or whatever has worked for your group, will continue or go back to being an open and evangelistic environment where students can invite their friends, Christian, non-Christian, wherever they are on their faith journey, to a place in homes by grade, gender, and geography where they get some time to hang in fellowship, where they hear a student share what the gospel is, to remind each other of the good news and the hope that is found in Jesus, where they hear a student share for 2 or 3 minutes how Christ has transformed their life, and where they'll get to hear from a student with facilitation from small group leaders, discussion based on God's word. And right now, all of our small groups are going through the book of Colossians. And so small groups on midweek Bible study time will be open, evangelistic. Everyone can come. Everyone should be invited to come. We will not be causing or asking for a required split based on membership versus non-membership. So groups will decide how that works specifically for their context, whether it's they continue to split into smaller groups and have deeper dive conversations based on the chapter for the week, or maybe some topics that came up as a part of a small group that evening. So it'll be no separation based on membership versus non-membership. So we think that that addresses continuing to make small group a warm and inviting place that students can go to and students can invite their friends to come to, regardless of where they are in their faith journey. At the same time, we really believe that it is crystal clear in God's word that those who have placed their faith in Jesus should continue to grow in their faith within the context of a local expression of God's body, the church. And one of the ways that we do that here, when you raise your hand and become a member and go through the membership process, is that you're involved in a community group where you walk through the community core values of devoting daily, pursuing relationally, counseling biblically, et cetera, et cetera. And we want our students, even though they're not adults, to experience, to practice, and to learn what it looks like to live life in community. And so while small groups on Wednesday evenings will remain open and evangelistic, we want to create a space, a time and space, for students who are members of Watermark to be able to pursue the core values of community. And so the way we're going to do that is we as a staff are going to help small group leaders and the student members within those groups figure out how many students in that small group are members, when is a great time that makes most logistical sense for the student members to gather to meet. That could be Thursday morning for breakfast. It could be Wednesday afternoon before small group. Whenever works for the group of students that are members within that group, we are inviting that opportunity to be on the table for student members so that they can experience all that God has for them to be experienced within the context of community. Does that make sense? And so this fall, Wednesday evenings, like I said, will be open evangelistic Bible study, share time, whatever that looks like. But us as a staff will be working consistently with small group leaders and students in small groups that are members to help them figure out who's in my community group, and where are we going to meet, and what are we going to talk about, and how are we going to learn and grow in applying the core values of community. And so with that comes a lot of challenges. If you envision a room with 5, 16-year-olds doing community, right? And so we want to help our leaders equip and train those students. And so one of the ways that we're going to do that is we're going to assign a community group shepherd to every one of those community groups of student members that are formed within each small group. Does that make sense? So that could be that the small group leaders who are already committed to Wednesday evenings are also committing to at least once a month visiting with the group, the community group from their small group, checking in on how they're doing, how they're, whatever challenges they may be facing, helping them and teaching them how to continue to live out and model community. So some leaders might say, I'm in to add that extra commitment. And some leaders might say, hey, this is just not something I can add to my schedule right now. We believe that that is so important that we are willing and ready to recruit community group shepherds to be able to serve and lead and encourage those community groups of high school students. So small groups on Wednesday nights, open evangelistic, God's word, everyone's invited. We will also ask every small group to figure out how many members you have, when can those members meet, and who is going to be the community group shepherd so that we can help teach and allow that group of students to model community. And hopefully, our plan is by the end of 2019 to have those questions answered for every small group so that going on into the new year, we'll start fresh with this opportunity. One of the ways that we're going to make space for that is on Sunday evenings. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, about once a month, most of our student members, last week we had about 145 students who are on lead team, which is basically our gathering of student members who want to grow in their ability to influence and lead their peers. And so we gather for worship, encouragement, teaching, and discussion about how to be salt and light in their circles of influence. And so what we're going to do is on the Sunday evenings when we don't have lead team, we're going to open up the fourth floor for small groups, community groups, that want to meet on Sunday evenings, and that makes most sense, that we have those classrooms reserved and ready for a community group to meet up there. We'll have a staff member there every time so that, you know, someone that's responsible and knows what's going on is there. So we want to make sure we afford every opportunity for this. And so, yeah, that's basically everything that we're going to do. We're going to continue small groups, open and evangelistic. We're going to create community groups of student members who will have a community shepherd assigned to them to help them as they learn to live out the core values of community. We're going to open up the fourth floor on non-lead team Sunday evenings for groups to meet if they so choose. They can meet in homes just like they are right now. You can provide them with all the resources if you want to open up your home. And so the next steps for us as a team and as a ministry and you as well is that we're going to identify student members. And when I say that, I want to make sure I say we're not interested in increasing the number of members at Watermark. That's not why we're doing this. We're interested in increasing the number of devoted followers of Jesus. At Watermark, our membership goes to zero every year. Because we're not interested in a number. We're interested in people who want to walk with Jesus and want others to be around them, holding them accountable to that. And so the same thing with our student members. We want them to not just go through this process because that's what we're, that's the direction we're headed, but that they prayerfully and thoughtfully have conversations with you and with each other, and have more conversations surrounding why does church membership matter? Why is that important? Why is it important for me as a 16, 17, 18-year-old to be connected specifically to a local body when I'm about to leave, you know, when I'm 18 and go off to college or whatever is next? We want to have those conversations because this is not just, we don't want it to be a, hey, let's just check the box. Yes, and then we'll assign community group shepherds to every single one of those community groups of high school students to better serve them. So that's the new direction that we're heading in starting this fall. We're excited. We think it captures the best of both worlds in a way that makes the most sense. And so I'm going to invite Todd Wagner to come up on stage to kind of cast a little bit more vision as to even why we're going this direction and why we want to not only be open and evangelistic, but also to shepherd and care for our student members. I know it's hot. I see you fanning. We'll text some people to get the air on in here. Todd, come on up here. Let's welcome him to the stage.
Thanks. All right. So I'll do this real quick. It even made me laugh when somebody said, I didn't even know that someone thought the reason this was happening is because we're trying to drive member numbers. That made me laugh. I could never have cared less about that. I will say I care deeply about our students. We know that about 80%, according to the Southern Baptist Convention, 80% of high school students, at least in the Southern Baptist Convention, leave their faith when they get to college. I've never believed that stat. I think there's probably 80 or more percent of Southern Baptist kids who don't know Christ in high school, who at some point walked forward during Just As I Am, and I'm not mocking that, or made some profession at a D-Now weekend, Disciple Now weekend, or some other cultural expression of what it means to ask Jesus into your heart. And then they just basically leave them alone, and they are around church most of their life, and they go to college, and they either get sucked into charismania or they lose their faith altogether. And we just have never wanted that to happen here. And so I will tell you, having had kids that go through this, we shepherded our kids in high school in the same way that we're looking to shepherd others. For years, I've just said, I believe we need more care and correction of high school kids. And it's okay if kids don't want it. But when they say, what I don't want is kids who say they're members of a church who don't ever experience what it means to be a member of a church. We also think it's important for these leaders who are pouring their life out in shepherding these kids that they're just not chasing those kids all the time, or that kids don't show up, you know, a little bit and then make the senior dessert and get a Bible with a nice note written in it. And because their parents didn't move, they're still a part of that small group that's been meeting since sixth grade, even though there's really been three of them, and 12 of them show up with their parents. It's just not healthy. Nothing's changed. We haven't changed yet. It was going to be a November date. And so as David and Jermaine, we follow their lead. We've just said, hey, guys, how do you want to go about just raising the value? Kids that say they want to be members, we're just saying the Wednesday night thing isn't doing what members do. And so we're not telling you can't do the Wednesday night thing. Just tell us how we're going to do what we need to do with members, which is to help them devote daily, pursue each other relationally, not just go to most Wednesday night small groups. Live authentically, admonish faithfully, counsel biblically, and engage missionally. And we're going to love kids whether they just choose to do that or not. But if they want to follow Jesus, this is what believers do. And the sooner they realize with the loving presence of their leaders that they don't want to do that, the sooner they can not tell the world they lost their faith when they went to college. We can just lovingly say, we're so glad you're here. Keep considering Jesus. And this is what it means to follow Jesus. We love you. So that's all you're seeing happening, is that we're just getting better, I think, at making disciples. And we feel like in our culture, that certainly should happen by the time they're 16 and driving. You know? And it probably happens sooner in most cultures. Bar mitzvah is 13, son of the law, which just basically means you're no longer under the care of your parents. You now yourself are going to be tried as an adult in Jewish society. That made sense that in a more agrarian society at 13, we think in our society that's no later than your sophomore year. And all we're saying to kids is, hey, is this your Jesus or not? We love you. Okay? So with that, let's Q&A.
Let's hop up on stage because you're feeding back.
Okay. So, hey, I will say, as we're getting ready, and listen, we found this to be the most helpful time if there's any questions. I'm so encouraged. Bo mentioned that we heard from about 12 different families. I look out, and I think I see like 7 of you without trying. That really encourages me. Look, I know how hard it is. I haven't gone home, but because I've been with other folks after this, but this just blesses me to see who's in this room. And this bodes well for our students. I mean, the kids that do best are in homes of parents who are doing this, you know. And what I mean by that is not coming to 2 o'clock meetings, investing deeply in the thinking and the life and the practice of the community of God's people. And I see so many of you guys doing that. And it's just a privilege to labor with you toward that end. Is there anybody who's got questions after hearing from these men today? Or are you guys that committed to a 3:15 kickoff? What's going on here?
Nice and loud over here. Yeah. I'll repeat the question because we're recording. Go for it.
You gonna repeat that?
Yeah. So
for the recording,
this is a dad from Watermark who hates the word membership and wants fake membership. So here's our response to that. No. So I did say the question. That was it. Okay. So here's what I would say to that is what happens at small group. I think is exactly what you just described. Our leaders are going to be faithful to call those students to everything God's word calls them to as they go through God's word there. And we certainly hope that the core values of community that Todd mentioned are not ignored at small group. Rather, they're pursued also. It's just those people who have not covenanted with this body to be held accountable to those things, we're not going to hold them accountable to them in the same way that we are someone who has made that covenant with this church to be held accountable. So we're going to call them to them, encourage them, nurture them, but we're not going to kind of hold them accountable in the same way.
Yep, spurred on. And that's already been happening, right, David?
So already been happening and will hopefully continue to happen. And if you see it not happening in your small group, we'd love to hear about it so we can step in there, encourage those leaders, sharpen them, strengthen that group.
What we're really doing is, again, our leaders, we're trying to help them. We measure our success by ability to be and make disciples. And over the years, our leaders have just said, gosh, I feel stuck. I don't know how to handle this. And we're giving them another tool to handle it while all the kids are admonished and loved toward that. We hope every Christian, not members of Watermark, does those things. But we have a different responsibility to ours. Okay? Yeah. Question?
I have a question. So, like, originally it was, like, starting sophomore year. So, like, the community groups, will that be starting sophomore year as well or freshman year?
It could start anytime. It could start when you're in sixth or seventh grade. Amen. That's what's wonderful about this new approach is, hey, once you decide I want to partner with this church body and covenant with them as a member, we're going to help you try to find community at whatever age that is.
Yeah, one of the things we've wrestled with, and please, just so you know, as elders, like, baptism without membership doesn't make much sense, okay? Baptism as a requirement to be a member is something, we've just even talked about this a lot. It's like the very first thing you're supposed to do if you're a believer, right? And so we've wrestled with this. I mean, let's act like there's nothing, but we're all born 18 in this world, which of course we know there's not, but that would be a little easier conversation. But when a parent wants a six-year-old to be baptized, what's that mean for a six-year-old to be baptized? What are they entering into? Okay? So all of these questions are being discussed at every level, and we're trying to figure it out. But as David said, the great news is if there are members in sixth grade, we're going to try and find out, hey, how can we help an appropriate expression of sixth grade devotion to Christ be lived out? And that's going to amplify throughout the years. And certainly by the time they're at the age that we've talked about, it can begin to even take on more seriousness, right? So, but yeah, there's a question over there. Bo?
And one thing I'll say, so we're starting this with our sophomores, but to be clear, we're saying that if a student wants to be a member, we're going to have the same call as we do for the rest of our members, which is to be in community. And so if somebody wants to become a member in ninth grade, then we're going to call them to be in a community in ninth grade. Because we feel like that's what we feel like is both best for our members and allows us to best shepherd them.
And one other quick thing on that question. One con to the strategy that was proposed in August was we realized it created a compulsion amongst our small groups to go, I want to be in the community group subgroup when we split up. I have to go through membership process. And people were, we saw immediately, people were beginning to pursue membership for that reason. And so we don't want to create a trap to create, you know, more members. That is not what we were about. We want students to make that decision based on a conviction about what they believe God's word calls them to and who they are in Christ, and understanding the body of Christ at Watermark, that they want to be affiliated and covenanted with that body. We want them to make that decision on their own, independent of any compulsion.
Question. Yeah, so one last thing. Like, I've got a sophomore son who's never been baptized. One of the things I hope his community does, he's a member, is that they start to look at him and go, hey, what's up with that? Right? Because in my household, I always made the rule, hey, you couldn't get baptized when we were doing this big all-church push. Right? Because you're the pastor's kid, and I don't want you to get baptized because everybody's doing it, and it's the big party weekend. I want you, I told all my kids, when you're reading God's word, and you're convicted there's something in God's word you're not doing, and you come to me and say, Dad, will you help me do this? That's when there's lots of things I'm going to remind you of, but the external testimonies are not those things. Okay? And it's a tell. I mean, it's a tell that he's probably not pouring through Romans right now or the book of Acts right now. And so we come up and we have this conversation, but whenever I say, hey, you should do this, and he says, okay, I'll do it. I go, I don't want you to do it because of me. But I do believe that a bunch of sophomores and juniors, and you, one of the things you should say to everybody in your community group, hey, has everybody here been baptized as a believer? Right? And if so, why not? And what do the scriptures say about that? Counsel each other biblically. And we're going to teach kids to do that. Right? Now, I have no problem if my friend's kids say, buddy, why haven't you done that? And he, in a sense, is admonished and encouraged and spurred on. So all this kind of works together. Meredith has a question.
Clarify who's going to lead the community groups, the student community groups. Like, if you have leaders that feel like they're maxed out, what is that going to look like?
TBD.
But the answer's on the sheet.
We're figuring that out as we go this semester and next semester. We're working towards it. So we put this before our small group leaders, kind of with the ask of, let's just say there's enough members in your small group to have one community group, but there's three small group leaders. Could you guys take turns and pop in there, you know, once a month so that they have some consistent leadership? So really, weekly leadership would be something we would work towards, but we're okay as a group at the beginning having somebody pop in once a month. And if all the small group leaders say we're maxed out, we can't even do that, we may start calling you guys, parents of those students that are members. And we do see some situations where that could be really neat for parents to jump in and, you know, moms to take turns meeting with that group and seeing how they're doing, helping them work through issues. But we want to find other members that are older, more mature than them to shepherd those groups. But we've got to figure that out. So that's work for us to do. And we can't make a promise that's going to happen by this date, but we're moving in that direction.
And I'll just say with that, you know, we've been very clear that we're comfortable with 8 or 10, 15-year-olds getting in a room together by themselves and it being a little bit messy. Because We don't see where it's scripture where it says you get a high school diploma and you're now officially ready to shepherd one another without an adult in the room. And frankly, we have 45-year-olds that show up and haven't the foggiest idea how to have healthy relationships. And the way they learn that is the same way with these. Get in a room, get after it, be humble. How can we help you?
Yeah, and I think we have a structure in place that's really helpful right now, where in their small group curriculum booklets or on the Shoreline app, there are questions. There's, I think, 7 or 9 questions that each community group can go through. And so for the time being, until we have, you know, regular, weekly, you know, an adult kind of helping, get together and ask these questions. Basically, they're extended versions of how have you fed your soul, how have you fed your flesh, and how have you fed others. And then we'll add the support that they need to that. That's a good question.
But how great the members of our, I see the questions walking out. Why don't you guys walk that mic this way? I'll get here. If even like there's kids in our group that are members who are in community with other families who are members that aren't in my community, but I can see a time where we get together, me and the other parents. Right, so I see Paul and Ellen over there, right? And our sons are in the same high school group, but we're not in community together in that sense. But we're brothers, sisters in Christ. And so what we might do is go, hey, I'm watching our kids who are both members struggle. Why don't we get them together and shepherd them? And just as older members of the body, just go, hey, guys, we know you love Jesus. We know this is what you value. We love the way you're leading. Let's talk to you about what we're seeing in this expression right now of your testimony. So we get to jump in with that community, in a sense, which is we're making disciples, right? We don't expect them to act like 25-year-olds or 45-year-olds, but they're going to be a different 25-year-old and 45-year-old because they're doing it now. Does that make sense? That's Deuteronomy 6, okay? So here we go. Question?
So Love the small groups at Watermark. My son showed up there in a crisis, and so I'm just so grateful. So that's a couple years ago, and the Wednesday night thing was great, and then they started meeting outside. I'm kind of getting to a question. They met outside of the Wednesday, and that was part of his whole discipleship. So now he's becoming a member. Now I know why, which is great. He's 18, and he's now bringing another kid to small group. And so my question really gets to, this has been for about a month, he's been bringing this other kid who's just, his mom has said his faith is deepening and so on. And they go to a different great church. But I wonder how these kids tell this new kid, well, we're going to meet on Sunday, but you can't go because that's our small group. It's just a thought, giving the kids some how to handle that, because it could feel something not good.
Yep. So that young man's group, you know, this is going to be a process. This is another thing we love about the approach that we're presenting today, is that it doesn't have a hard, like, it's all going to happen by November 13th. We could have done the other thing like that because it was already structured that way, but this thing's going to take a little more time. And so Austin Mencken's going to go meet with those small group leaders and with that small group and troubleshoot and figure it out. And if we can't figure that one out immediately, it'll, you know, we'll wrestle through, hey, what do we do in that situation? But Todd,
do you want to take a comment on this?
Sure.
Okay.
So I think all of our adult members have the same challenge. You have a neighbor that sees life change and wants to hang out, and there are times when they hang out, and there are times when they don't. And so I have a friend that years ago came and said, hey, I see what's happening in your group. Can we hang out with y'all? And did not know Christ. And I said, hey, I'd love for you to hang out with us at times. But so you know, what we do is we get together and we share from God's word. We counsel one another biblically and we pray. And if you're not comfortable with counseling biblically, then I'm asking you not to counsel in those meetings, because that's what we're calling one another to. And then still have fun time with them, but they may not be there all the time. And our adult members are going to face that same challenge. Call them to Christ, call them the membership.
So I'll take even another deal, but what if they're not an unbeliever? What if they're a believer at another great church? And they go, our church doesn't fellowship like this, and we want to do it with you guys. What we would say to them is, okay, let's talk about why we do this at Watermark. This is not a Watermark thing. Isn't this what Jesus calls you to do? So you're telling me you're a member of a great church that doesn't ask you to do this. And, well, I think we should. Great. So when you're getting this over here, you're not providing the leadership to do that where you are. So we want to send you back as God's man or woman in that place and exhort you to do it. So you're telling me there's nobody else at your church who wants to do what we're doing? Okay, and the leadership won't support you doing that there? Let's reevaluate whether it's a great church. Or we don't want to patch that together over here while you just don't do it over there. Your church, God has you there for that purpose, right? So one of the things I would say to that 18-year-old is, hey, sure, so you tell me there's no other 18-year-olds at your church that want Jesus. Yeah, that's the case. Does your church know that? All right, so lovingly, we're forcing some conversations, but we don't tell Watermark members they can't hang out with other devoted members of Christ because they're not Watermark members, and we're not telling your kids that. What we're saying is, when we are doing what Jesus calls us to do, when every other church has to come to Watermark communities, and we don't believe this is the case, but people are telling us they've got to do it with our folks or they can't do it, something's wrong there, right? I've got friends who are members of other churches, or I've got some really close friends at Watermark that I am not with all the time because we're just not doing, we live in different places that I still get together with and spend hours with, but not in my community. I would hope that we're doing that with other believers in and all throughout Dallas. Didn't have to be the one time we get together to do what we need to do as we practice one another's the way God wants us to. So.
And you run the mic to the next, yep, there we go. And recognizing the context for those conversations, as Todd just described, is one of great patience and gentleness and understanding the unique social environment of high school. A lot of kids, you go back to your healthy church and get in community there, and their response is, all my friends are here. And so we want to take time to understand that and work through that and be sensitive to that, but also where all your friends are should not trump obedience to God's word. And so we want to have that conversation and not just be like, well, okay, come on. But we want to have the conversation Todd just described. All right, next question.
So I guess my concern is my son is up to here already with school and all the different activities, and I would imagine there's a room full of people that might agree with that. And we're adding another opportunity, and have you guys thought about
that? Yeah, there's already a lot. Bo, you want to take it?
I'd be happy to take that. Look, I think everybody at every season of life feels like it's the busiest season of life, and it happens with teens, and it happens when you get out of college, and then it happens with kids, and I think we all find time to do the most important things. And so as gently as I could say, I would hope that for every follower of Christ, being obedient to God's word will always have time made for it. And so I think if we say we're not going to call people to obedience, to be known and be part of a local church at 16 and 17, we shouldn't be surprised when they're 35 and they're uninvolved with their spouse and their kids because they're pursuing a demanding job. And so I just hope they could work through that and you would encourage them to prioritize.
Yeah, and the thing I'd add to that too is that's why we were keeping it open as to when and where, you know, those communities can meet. Because, for example, if a group like your son, you know, seniors, they're like, hey, let's do small group 7 to 8:30 like normal, and then let's do community after, you know, from 8:30 to 9:30. Like, that works great. If that works, if that's the time that they've carved out in the midst of all the challenges and considering what Bo just talked about of like prioritizing what matters most, but if that's what works best, you know, we're open, you know, open to that being an option. Who'd you
add? I'm going to go first. Then you can go, Todd. So, and if he absolutely only has 1 hour, we would say come at 8:30 and do the 8:30 to 9:30. Like, pick community group over small group if you have to make that decision. And then the other thing I would add is walking with Jesus is more than an hour a week. It just is. And so hopefully when you're in community with somebody, you're in constant communication with them about the highs and lows of your day each day and where your heart is related to just the Lord and the temptations of this world and just how you're doing that day. And so community is more than a set time. It's the way God has designed us to live with one another. And so we want to call kids to that, but there we do want there to be a formal time that everyone's committed to getting eyeball to eyeball and talking about what God's doing in their life. Todd?
Yeah, all I was going to say is what your question was, I think, is why Jermaine and David and the student team originally came up with the plan that was delivered.
Yes, exactly.
And,
why.
And when you heard that, there were other values that were threatened that appropriately, we all think, trumped the solution that they came up with. And they listened. And so I've watched their leadership. I've watched the way, with their leaders in mind and with the students in mind, they projected and processed something. And then they got feedback and they're like, hey, we think this might be a chance to improve it. And so, but yes, evangelism takes time. Community and discipleship takes time. Personal devotion to Jesus takes time. And welcome to the glory of following our King. And the sooner we let our kids wrestle with all those tensions, the sooner they will discern the good way. So I love the question, and you just need to know they were on it.
Thanks, Jermaine. Thank you guys for all that you do and your leadership. We're really grateful. So here's my question. I heard you say there are about 200 folks that are student membership. So that leaves a population, a percentage of the small group or the small groups that are not members. How big is that? Any idea what percentage that is? And then how are we going to pursue our beliefs around community, devote daily, pursue relationally, et cetera? cheat sheet here.
That's good question.
Are they still going to be able to meet as smaller groups within the small group with folks that are non-members to do those things?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, roughly 20-25% of the students on the roster are members. Closer to 40-50% of who shows up are members. Right? It's like anything else in a church. Those who are most committed show up most consistently, all else equal. And, you know, we encourage the leaders of the small groups on Wednesday nights a year ago, saying for the larger groups, if you have to break into groups of two or three, put the kids that are most like-minded together. And so one set of like-minded is around the six community core values, broadly speaking. And then for some that they want to show up because it's fear of missing out and their friends are there, put them in another group and then call them to faithfulness, but their next step looks different than the next step of the person that says they're all in. And so we're going to still do those things. And then through lead team, we're going to call our members to really be faithful on Wednesday night, to calling people to faithfulness, to evangelism, to things like that. And so the way I would think about it is for our members, instead of showing up at lead team and working on serving and then showing up on Wednesday night and looking for community with a group that's not always consistent, we're going to say, look for your community outside of Wednesdays and then model community and serve everyone on Wednesday nights.
And so we're not expecting all student members to be on lead team, but lead team is a service opportunity. If you want to be a leader in the small group on Wednesday nights, then lead team is where you're equipped to do that. So I want to speak to that real quickly. Why can't lead team just count as community? Because most of the student members are already there. And if you boil down what our community team has presented to our body as just the basic 101 of community, you're getting together and you're asking, how are you feeding your soul? How are you feeding your flesh right now? And you're confessing sin to one another. And how are you feeding others? Lead team largely leans towards that third question of how are you feeding others? How are you being influential in the lives of those God has brought into your life? So on your teams, in your school, in your family, in your friend groups, how are you being salt and light the way God's called you to? And that is the training and equipping that happens at lead team. But they're together, 9th through 12th grade, guys and girls. They're not talking about the ways they fall into temptation that week in those circles. And so there's a huge element of shepherding and care that is absent from lead team because of its focus. And so You don't have to be a part of Lead Team if you're a student member, but if you want to serve in Shoreline, Lead Team is the way to do that as a high schooler. And so I wanted to speak to that, and then I feel like there was one other thing, but we'll go on to the next question.
Yeah, let's go. Other questions? Yes.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Every single small group is very different. As you can see reflected in some of these questions. And so Austin and Kaylee are coordinators for Shoreline. They'll be meeting with each of these groups, not only to figure out, hey, how do we care for these members, but also, as they've already been doing, to help those small groups on a case-by-case basis be most effective with the ministry God has brought to them. And so sometimes that looks like this is the place to be for this grade and this gender and this community, and everybody wants to be there. And so their approach might be a little bit different about how they structure their time. Some of them is a group where every participant goes to a different school and there's only five of them, but the same five are there every week. Their approach is going to be different than the group that has 25 girls coming in every week. And so we're working through case by case to make small group the most effective discipleship, evangelism engine that it can be. Yeah.
Okay. I think you just answered my question. My question was, if in a group, in each group, if there are 15 girls who are members, do they have the flexibility to say, hey, we're going to grow, we're going to have, our community is going to be five, this community is going to be six. Do they have any
Yes,
say in that? Okay.
And it's messy and maybe prone to drama. And so we'll kind of work through that. What we're not going to do is just be like, everybody pick who your best friends are, because that's not how life works. But our leaders will shepherd them through setting up those groups. And it's possible that there are some small groups, like we've already had a group of senior guys say, hey, we have already been subdividing, meeting members, non-members, and there's no drama and everyone loves it. Can that be community? And we're like, it's already been community. Yes, keep doing it and keep shepherding them. Way to go. So every group will look different, but it could, community could happen on Wednesday night. We're not saying you're not allowed to do that. Go ahead.
So what would you suggest for the rest of them? Like the kids that aren't ready for the membership, the kids that are kind of still struggling with what their walk looks like, if that even exists yet. So for resources for the kids and for the parents, what do you suggest?
Small group is a great place for that.
Since sixth grade. So
yeah.
What else?
Regeneration for students.
Yeah, what you're describing, though, listen, the Spirit of God works at different levels all the time. Right. And so even we weren't doing this formally, like I would say the care and correction that myself, I mean, I have a couple of families in this room that went through some small groups with my kids. And we already did this with those kids that were members and baptized and whatnot. And we'd sit with them and go, guys, you take in the name of Jesus. And this doesn't, you know, connect in this way. And there was repentance. There was restoration. There was celebration. And there were kids all around them who just weren't there yet. And they watched that. And we loved them. We showed them. And they go, I don't know if I want that. And we're like, well, it's okay. And so the Spirit of God's always at work. And what David said, that's happening on Wednesday nights already, where those leaders are calling them to the more, and loving them, and always saying, we're not going to love you more if you do this. I think you'll love your life more if you live in this discerning way, but we love you. And here's what more looks like. So what I would just say is that's what pre-evangelism and evangelism, that's what all that is. And then there's sanctification on the once I've professed a desire to follow Jesus side. So that tension you're feeling is what I would call the daily concern of the church. Okay? And it's different with every non-believer and converted person I know. And we disciple one another as we apply wisdom to that situation, which is why, again, Kaylee, raise your hand back there so everybody knows who Kaylee is. All right? And Austin, you're back there. Raise your hand where Austin is. And then Austin, put up here the community app so everybody knows what the six core values are. All right, so look, just so you know, go to the app store. This is for your community now. Go to the app store and download the Watermark community app, and the core values are there. And just what's going to be great about this is there's a lot of parents who have said to us, we're not even doing what we're asking our kids to do. Well, come on. And the three questions every week are right there. And if you hit those links, there's more to it that goes. So that community app is a really great resource. Those sermon notes that we push out every week with summary and scripture references and application questions, that's where you get it. Okay? So community app on the App Store. Here you go, bud.
Sweet. I think your question was small groups not working. Was that it, basically?
Depends on if his leaders are in the room.
Okay, yeah. So, and listen, this is what we tell leaders all the time, and I'm telling you this so you can pray with us and for us and those leaders and partner with us, is what Paul said to Timothy is the work of a leader and a minister is, you know, he described it as a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And we talked to them about the work of a farmer. Paul said, hey, I planted, Apollos watered it, God made it grow. And that's what Todd was saying about the Spirit of God is always at work. And what we want you guys to know is that us and our leaders are going to be faithful to plant seeds of the gospel in the lives of every student that shows up to small group or Shoreline or Wake or a retreat or D-Town or whatever it is. Every single time they're with us, they are going to hear the gospel and they're going to hear a testimony of that gospel impacting someone else's life. And in doing that, we're going to plant those seeds of truth in their life. And then the leaders are going to lean in and get to know those kids on a personal basis and try to water that seed and to nurture that soil. But ultimately, we all have to be praying that God makes it grow. And sometimes we don't understand how that works. A farmer doesn't understand how the seed sprouts and grows up under the ground. He just knows what to do to set it up for success. And so we're going to keep being faithful to do that, trusting that God will make it grow in time. Next.
Yeah. She
305.
Yes, it's 305. We'll honor your time. She was asking for other resources. I mean, one easily is our Shoreline Dallas app, where we've basically broken down the Bible study curriculum that your kid, if they're in a small group, should be going through, whether in the paper form or digital form. And so this week, on Wednesday evening, every student in small group, hopefully hundreds of students in 50-some-odd small groups of the 165 leaders, would have spent time this week on Thursday, Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday working through Colossians chapter 2. And when they gather together and are reminded of the truth from verse 7, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Are your roots being grown down into Jesus? What are you doing? What are you not doing? How can we help you? And so we're having community light in some sense because it's mixed with all sorts of people at all places on their journey. But that's an easy way to like, hey, you're reading Colossians 2 this week for small group. Have you read it? What verse stood out to you? Our church is going through a proverb of the day for October and for the fall. Tomorrow's Proverb 7, talking about the adulterous woman. Have you read it? What are your thoughts on that? What do you feel like you are prone to run towards? Those are easy resources I think every one of us has right now to use. Yes, one more question.
We'll do one more. That's fine.
One more question. Unless there isn't one. There we go.
Just practically speaking, if our child becomes a member, do they need to be in one of the official small groups? Does that make sense? For
yes.
Membership, is that required?
Yes.
Or does their small group count? Yes, community group, thank you. Or do they need to be in a community group?
They'll be in a community group. And then their leaders will help them get in one.
What? In sixth grade?
We will consider that possibility. If there's others they can be in community with, but no, I don't think in sixth grade, you can speak to that, but we're not going to tell them they're not a member.
Yeah. So I would say, if we get down to, we're figuring out like anybody, if there are 200 students that are members, I'm assuming like 190 of them are in high school. And so we're down to the 10. If we're talking about a member that's less than ninth grade, and we'll have to figure that out. I would put that in the sort of small case by case. But we're calling our members in general to be in community with other members, and then we'll assess something like that. And then I would really view your small group on Wednesday night, if you're a member, as an area of service. And like anywhere where we serve, God uses our area of service to build us up and disciple us. And so I wouldn't look at service as they're just going to help others, but God's going to use that to grow them.
So here's one scenario how that might work out with a sixth grader, right? So again, I'll use Paul and Ellen, all right? And their son Davis is good friends with my son. And I think, you know, they've both been believers for some time. But when Davis is at my house, okay, I treat him differently because of my relationship with Paul and Ellen and Davis's professed relationship with Christ, but he's still not my son. Does that make sense? I have a different responsibility with my son. I would absolutely involve Paul and Ellen in anything that I felt like was appropriate because when he was in my house. But I think one of the ways we'll handle the sixth grade, seventh grade one is we tell those leaders, look, all of these kids are yours. But that one has said, I want to have a different relationship with you and be set apart. So he may not be able to, or she may not be able to be in a community group per se, where your parents are driving another day of the week to go meet with others. But what we'll say to those leaders at the very least, hey, you have a different responsibility to this professed, active member in a local body who has the spiritual maturity, all right? So it just so happens some of my girls have been what I would say even socially more mature than my boys at the similar age. And so none of my boys would have probably gone through membership in sixth grade. Most of them did in ninth. My girls were wanting to do it earlier. And so some girls, for instance, but you might have a boy who's an old soul, to call it that. And what we'll just say is to those leaders, hey, take advantage of that maturity that God placed in that child. And so you're not going to spoil them, but there's a set apartness there. And so it might be covered just with the leaders going, I got my eyes on differently in the way I encourage and frankly give them the mantle of leadership a little earlier. They're the first ones to share their testimony. They're the first ones where you say, why aren't you inviting more friends? Hey, as the leadership goes, so you go. So those are the ways that we're going to pursue that. What we're trying to say, though, is by and large, by the time we get to high school, there's even another level of saying, hey, kids, who are you in Jesus? But we love when we see people. That's why we baptize children here after we really wrestle with them and say, are you sure mom and dad aren't promise you, you know, a trip to Baskin Robbins because grandma's in town? And, you know, and so we let kids be baptized. There's some kids who just go, look, dude, you want the scripture? Okay. This is why I'm supposed to get baptized. And so we do it. And then we work. And I would just say, we'll work with you. You guys know your kids better than we do. How can we serve you as you Deuteronomy 6 them? So I'm so encouraged. And, blessed to be a part of this body with you guys. I'll let you all wrap it.
And I'll say one thing, and this goes back to what David had said around the messiness of our member students sort of figuring out their community group. And we're going to ask parents to help with that. So if you think about an average group has 20 kids and 20-25% of the kids are members, you have 4 or 5 kids in a group that are members. If it stays at that, if you have 4 kids and 3 of them decide to do community together, and leave number 4 out, we're going to ask y'all to help us in that, in figuring out, all right, is there something going on with that person that they don't want to be community with them? That's, are they not following Jesus? And if so, let's talk about, should they be members? Or if it's something where they could help them say, hey, when you do this, I don't feel safe. We're going to want to have those conversations, and we're going to ask you to help us have those conversations with kids. To make sure that anybody who wants to be a member can find community.
All right, guys, we'll stick around here. If you have more questions, you can come talk to us directly. Thank you so much for being here. We love you guys. We love your kids. Hagwow.
Have a great week of worship.